We'll commence our meeting and we'll stand and sing 279. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Standing to sing 279. Shall we pray for a word of prayer? Every head bowed in God's presence while we seek his face. Our gracious and eternal heavenly Father, we bow before thee this night and we come to thee in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do thank you we can come to thee and seek thy face and draw near to thee. Loving Father, we think of this meeting that's just commenced, that you will bless us and be with us and be one of our number. We think of those who may be in without Christ, lost in sin, out in the world. O Heavenly Father, we pray tonight for them, that this would be the night when they pass from death to life, from the power of Satan unto God, when they become new creatures in Christ. O Heavenly Father, come, Lord, we pray thee. Bless the service. Bless the preaching of the word of God. Bless the testimony. Bless the hymn singing. O Heavenly Father, from the first of this meeting to the very last, we do pray that thou'll be moving and working in people's hearts. We think to you of the backslider. Someone's here tonight and they're not going on with you as they used to do. They're walking afar off. Loving Father, we just pray that thou will bring them back to thyself, bring them back to the joy of their salvation, bring them back to thee, Lord, and then bless thy people here in Armagh. We do thank you, Lord, for this church. We do thank you during the years it took us down for the Lord. And Lord, we do thank it even today that thou will bless it. Do you remember the Reverend Macmillan? Be with him, Lord, and bless him wherever he is tonight. May he know thy presence. May he know thy power. O Lord, we pray, and then bring him home safely to his good people in Armagh. O Heavenly Father, come down today. Rend the heavens and come down and move, we pray, among us. And what we pray for here in Armagh, we remember all around the province, everywhere the word is faithfully preached, everywhere where men and women are told to flee from the wrath to come. O Lord, we pray that thou will bless them, that thou will move among them and do great and mighty things. Come, we pray, bless across the border too, in Corrycarry and Convoy and other places too that are faithful to thee. And then in the British mainland, in England, Scotland and Wales, we think of the Isle of Man as well. O Lord, bless. O Lord, save souls. O Lord, do great and mighty things among us that we look not for. O Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, again for saving us, for keeping us, for blessing us. And one day the end's not yet. The best is yet to be, because one day we'll be at home with the Lord and we'll be at home with thee. So, Heavenly Father, continue with us now and bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. We'll continue to worship the Lord and we'll sing 281. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Standing to sing.
Thank you.
Well, we'd like at this stage of the meeting to give a short word of testimony when the Lord saved me and what he's meant to me ever since. I am the youngest of a family of four. I had two brothers, and they were born before the Second World War. One was born Joey, he was born in 1937, and then my brother William, he was born in 1939. And then my father went off to the war, so he did. And he came back in 1946. My sister Frieda was born, and in 1950, I came, the last of the pack. So, but something wonderful happened in our house when my father was away at the war. My mother got saved. There was meetings not far away in the Baptist Church in Bounbridge. And she attended them and came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Saviour. So I was born into a home with a godly mother. Although I don't remember her much because I was seven when she went home to be with the Lord. She had very bad rupture and she's going to go in for operation on it. But also she had very bad asthma and she never came out of the anaesthetic. And she lay in a coma in Bonbridge Hospital for 6 weeks and died the 10th of July 1957 and was buried the 12th of July 1957. So I don't remember much about my mother. But one thing I know, my mother went home to be with the Lord. And we continued going to Sunday school, my sister and I, and children's meetings and hearing the gospel. But by the time I left school, I stopped going to Sunday school. I stopped going to children's meetings. And I didn't want to be saved. All I wanted to get a job, to get some money, and go out and enjoy the world. And that's what I did. I got a job in the shoe factory in Bounbridge and started going out to places. First of all, the picture house. Then we went to the dance in the local dance hall and then other places too. And then finally, we started going to the pub. Oh, yes, indeed. And some nights we left the house to go to the dance and we never made it to the dance. We just stayed in the pub even after hours. But, you know, if I wanted to forget God, God did not forget me. And where I worked in the shoe factory, there were two types of Christians. There, first of all, there were Baptists, and they were full of zeal, witnessing to high and low. And they took me to meetings, and they witnessed to me. And they took me to hear Pastor Willie Munn and Lurgan, and people like that. And they were very faithful. And then there was the Free Presbyterians. And they were faithful too. There's one of them's an elder now in Tontagee, Noel Barry. And he was a good friend. And I always admired the stand he took for the Lord. And he took me to hear Dr. Paisley and others too. But as well as all of that, they told me about the apostasy, about the rumour trends in churches. Well, I didn't understand it much. I didn't like what I heard. And I thought to myself, well, if I'm ever saved, I'll be a Free Presbyterian. So one night in October, the 4th of October, 1973, he took me to a mission in Tontagee Free Presbyterian Church. And Dr. Paisley was preaching. And he said something wonderful that night that encouraged me. He said, young man, if you get saved tonight, the Lord will make a new man out of you. The things you'll hate now, they'll be the things you love. And the things you love now, will be the things you'll hate. God can make a new man out of me. And that didn't occur to me. I always thought I got saved in a couple of weeks' time, went back with the old cronies, and back to the old habits again. And that night I stayed behind. And the Reverend Alan Kearns was there. And I said to him, I don't think I can keep this. He says, you can't. But God's not asking you to keep it. He, when you were a child, you put your hand in your father's hand and he took you across the road. You didn't take him. And that's what you'll do tonight. You'll put your hand in God's hand and he will hold on to you. And that night, the 4th of October, 1973, I came to know the Lord. So I went home and told my father I was saved. I said to him, I have something to tell you. Now what have you done? Because I've been in trouble with the police. But today I've got saved. Oh, that's good, he says. You'll go to church. I say, I will, Daddy. But I'm not going to back the Presbyterians. Oh, where are you going? I say, I'm going to the Free Presbyterians. And I was expecting a row. Because some years before, when my brother Joey got saved, in the Baptist, my father said to him, don't you leave your church. And he stayed on in the Presbyterian church. And my father looked at me that night and he said, I don't care where you go, as long as you don't go back to any more pubs, I'm sick looking at you rolling in. And so that night I had answered a prayer that night. The next day in work in the shoe factory, I was down that machine working, and my brother Billy or William came round and he said to me, where are you for the night? This was Friday night. He said, I'm for Tondagee. Oh, he says, whereabouts? Because he used to go over there to get drunk too. And I said, to the gospel mission. What? He said, on Friday night, you'll be getting good living. Say, no, Billy. I got saved last night. And a great weight lifted off me. And the Lord blessed me ever since. It's good to be saved. Sunday, I was in the Orange Hall in Bonbridge. That's when the Bonbridge Church was meeting at that time. And I knew as soon as I sat down, I was in the right place. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord has led me ever since. So he has. He took me to the Whitfield College of the Bible twice. I'm a slow learner. I went and did the missionary course and nothing opened up, but I was always preaching. And so I went back for the ministry course and the Lord brought me through. Down the years I've served the Lord. We were in England, my wife and I, for 10 years serving the Lord. Oh, my friend tonight, I only regret getting saved was I didn't get saved yet earlier. If you're not saved tonight and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Saviour, you come tonight and be saved. Be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You'll never regret it. It's the best move I ever made. So the Lord has given me a godly wife and a good home. And the Lord has blessed me. And the end's not yet, for the best is yet to be. Thank you very much for listening. May God bless thy word. We're at this stage of the meeting, we'll have the announcements in it. Who's coming for the announcements?
We thank our brother for that word of testimony this night. We welcome everyone to our evening gospel service. If you are visiting with us, we give you a special welcome. And we also welcome again our preacher this evening, Mr. Desmond McComb from the Bambridge Church. The following are the announcements for the rest of the week. Monday, 7:30 p.m., meeting of the church committee in the church hall. Tuesday, 6:45 p.m. Both children's bright hours here in Armagh and in the band hall in Killaloe will take place. Also on Tuesday at 8 p.m, the baptismal service in Tandragee Free Presbyterian Church. Miss Hannah Carson will be one of those baptised at the service. We encourage you to pray for Hannah as she is baptised, and if you can, come along to the service to encourage her by your presence. Supper will be served for everyone after the meeting. Wednesday, 8 p.m, the prayer meeting and Bible study. The Reverend McMillan will make a presentation of their visit to Ark Encounter in North Kentucky during the summer to see the replica of Noah's Ark. We encourage you to come to see the presentation, including all the young people. Friday, 8 p.m, Youth Fellowship in the Church Hall, Speaker, the Reverend McMillan. Saturday morning from 9:30 onwards, we'll be decorating the church for the harvest services and also the church clean-up. We encourage as many as possible to come and help. Next Lord's Day, 1st of October, the Harvest Thanksgiving Services. 10:40 a.m. Sunday School and Bible Classes. 11:30 a.m. Morning Service. Preacher will be the Reverend John Woods from Carrickfergus Free Presbyterian Church. 6:30 p.m. The Gospel Service. The Preacher, the Reverend Andrew Stewart from Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. The Singer will be Mr. Michael Briggs. There will be a half hour of prayer before both meetings. Monday, the 2nd of October, the Harvest Service. Preacher will be Dr. John Douglas from Lisburn Free Presbyterian Church. Singer, Mr. Nigel Davison. There will be supper for everyone after the service on Monday night. We ask the ladies to help with the food. There will also be special offerings taken for the building fund at the Harvest Services. Please give as generously as you can. Copies of the church accounts for 2022 are at the door. Please take your copy as you go from the service. Next Saturday night, 30th of September, at 7 p.m, there is a special presbytery rally in Martyrs Memorial Free Presbyterian Church. It is a rally to voice our opposition to the new RSE curriculum being introduced in schools by the government. At the rally, details will be given that will be of help to parents with children currently at school. The speaker, Mr. Callum Webster of the Christian Institute. There is an advert on the church Facebook page with all the details. Please share the advert widely. These are all the announcements. Thank you.
We thank our brother for those words of welcome. And it's great to be here tonight. And we do pray the Lord will bless us as we preach the gospel of redeeming love. At this stage of the service, we have another hymn, 305. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold, there are wings of strife. When the strong tides lift and the cables strain, will your anchor hold on firm remain? Standing to sing, 305.
Thank you.
you have your Bible with me this evening, we're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. And we're reading from verse 19 to the end of the chapter. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off with Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from us from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that were come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Amen. May the Lord bless the preaching and the reading of his precious word. Shall we bow for a word in prayer? O Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight and we just seek thy face, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to bless us in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the meeting so far. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with us and anyone in here not saved, lost in sin, will be spoken to and brought to Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Bless us now, be with us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The greatest preacher to walk this scene of time must have been the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says the common people heard him gladly. They flocked to hear him in their thousands, and he healed them and he preached to them. And his favourite method of preaching was by parables, earthly stories with heavenly meaning. He would tell some earthly thing that happened and apply it to up to heaven up above. What we have here but is not a parable. I don't believe. I believe these two men lived and died and went out into eternity. Why do I say that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, says, there was a certain man which was clothed in fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus. And he wouldn't say that if these people didn't live at one time upon the earth. So he did. Also, I believe that these people lived and died and went out into eternity. And tonight we want to look at one of those men. We want to look at the rich man. And we want to look at what the rich man learned in hell for a few moments. First of all, he learned there was such a place as hell. You know, today, people today do not believe in hell. They say that a loving God wouldn't send anyone to hell, to a lost eternity. Many say hell is in this life. Hell is on earth. And then there's others who scoff at hell. All my friends and mates are down there before me. I get down, we'll have a good time. So I will. Preachers today do not preach about hell. Hell is never heard from their sermons. At the graveside, everybody's looking down from heaven. God, nobody's looking up from hell. God does not send anyone to hell anymore. Beloved, here's a man. He's been buried. And in hell, he has opened up his eyes. And he has found it, so he has. Found it to be true. There is such a place as hell. There is such a place as hell. Hell is very real. Christ spoke once about heaven, but he spoke 13 times about hell. The Bible speaks more about God's wrath and God's love. And hell is a place which was prepared for the devil and his angels. But hell is also a place for those who die unsaved, unrepentant, and unprepared. The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. And tonight, my friend, hell is for you. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you have never been to Jesus, you have never knew sins forgiven, you're living for the world and sin, oh, my friend, that's where you'll be in a lost eternity. Hell is for you tonight if you're not saved, if you are not redeemed by the precious blood. He learned about the torments of hell, so he did. Verse 23, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off with Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember, thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. He learned about the torments of hell. First of all, he was tempted in three different ways. He was first of all tormented by the flames of hell, so he was, in the place of unquenchable fire. It's called the lake of fire. It burns forever and ever, the flames in hell. And then he was tormented by the sight of Lazarus enjoying heaven. He could look across and see Lazarus, who used to lie at his gate, full of sores. He's enjoying heaven now. So he is. And he's tormented by his memory. The man said, but Abraham said, Son, remember, that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And he could look back and know the good life he had, plenty to eat and plenty to drink, and now he has nothing. Beloved, you will be tempted, or you will be tormented, in the same three ways. first of all by the awful flames of hell. They've never got any lighter than before. There's always flames in hell. The Bible speaks about the lake of fire, fire and brimstone and all the rest of it. Indeed. And you'll be tormented by the thought that you could have been in heaven. Maybe tonight you're here and you're in the gospel meeting. And maybe you were brought up in a home, a Christian home. Your parents were both saved. And you were brought up and you didn't get saved as a child. You were sent along to Sunday school, to children's meetings. People talked to you about going to heaven and all. And then you grew up, you left school, you started working. And there's people in there witnessing to you, telling you about your need, telling you need to be saved and all of that. And here you are today, and you're in hell. And you could have been in heaven. Oh, my friend, that must be terrible, so it must be. But the thought that you could have been in heaven, but now you're in hell. You're in a lost eternity, forever and ever. And then you'll be tormented by your memory. You'll remember all of those meetings you went to. You'll remember Sunday school. You remember your friends witnessing to you. You remember the Lord striving with you to bring you to salvation. And you remember saying no for the last time. And you remember plunging into a lost eternity. Oh, my friend, do not reject Christ. Come tonight and be saved and be born again. And then he learned that hell was final. There was no escape. So he wasn't. So verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. When you die and you go to the lost sinner's hell, you are in a lost eternity. And that means endless, endless. That means endless agony, endless anguish. It means endless burning, blasting, and blackness. It means endless crying, so it does. Damnation and darkness. It means endless groaning, so it does. Endless flames, endless torments, endless woe, wailing and weeping. When you're in a lost eternity, it's endless, friend. There's no let up. So there's no hope for a soul in hell. There's no escape. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory, so there's not. In hell, God has finished with you. There is no mercy for a soul in hell. Oh, no, there's not. And then he learned that you had to prepare for death in this life. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father Abraham, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one went from the grave. Oh, yes. He learned that you must have to get saved in this life before you die. He remembers his five brothers. So he does. And he wants Lazarus to return and to warn him about a lost sinner's hell, so that they would not go to a lost eternity. If you are to escape the horrors of a lost eternity, you must be saved here and now, the Bible says. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. No other name under heaven. It's in this life you prepare for heaven. And then there's 2 Corinthians 6. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today is the day of salvation. And then there's Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You could be here tonight and you have every intention to be saved someday. Someday up ahead, but not today. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And in Amos 4:12 says, prepare to meet thy God. And there's only one way you can do that, by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in him as your own and personal Saviour. So it is. And we have Abraham's response here, verse 29. And Abraham said unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. The one rose from the dead. Moses and the prophets, they spoke about Christ. Turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 24. First of all, verse 27, it says, the wrong chapter. Verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They wrote about Christ, so they did. Verse 44, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. The Old Testament wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ, about him coming into this world and going to the cross and suffer and bleed and die for poor lost guilty sinners. Christ is the only Saviour of sinners. So yes, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's the only one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. He said himself he had come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the Apostle Paul said he came to save sinners, and he saved him, and he was the chief of sinners. So he's the only one who went to the cross and suffered and died in the sinner's place. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way. The Lord has laid in him the iniquity of us all. Oh, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and bore your sin on his own body on the tree. And he died for you, the just for the unjust, that you might be saved and go to heaven one day. And he's the only one who rose again and ascended into heaven, sat down at the right hand of the Father. The work was finished. The work of salvation is finished. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing can be taken from it. It's a perfect work. So it is. This is the message of the Word of God. This only one gospel. There's only one way to heaven, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come tonight, you be saved. You be born again of God's Holy Spirit. And you be washed in the precious blood of Jesus. Your name will be written down in heaven, and one day you'll be in heaven yourself. And then last of all, but he learned it all when it was too late. The older divine said, hell is nothing more, and truth known, too late, too late. It's too late learning about hell when you're in it. When you open your eyes in a lost eternity, it's too late learning about hell. It's too late learning about the torments when you're being tormented by the flames of hell, by your memory, by 101 things. Oh, my friend, you'll be tormented. It's too late realizing you're there forever when you arrive. There's no limbo, I said, no purgatory, no escaping from a lost eternity. Once you die and go to a lost eternity, you're there forever. There's no escape. There's no getting out. And it's too late realizing you should have repented before you died. Oh, friend, my, don't let it be too late for you. Oh, be saved. Flee from the wrath to come. Flee to Christ and be wonderfully and marvelously saved. You could go home tonight rejoicing, knowing your sins are forgiven, knowing you have a home in heaven, and whatever happens, you'll be absent from the body, but present with the Lord. You come tonight to Christ. Don't leave this meeting without getting saved, without coming to the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your faith and trust in him. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it in life. The Christian life is the best life. It's a life of joy and peace. You'll never regret it in death. You ever look at death and say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And you'll certainly never, never regret it in eternity. But if you do reject the Lord, well, you mightn't regret it in life. Your life could go on all right. But you will regret it in death. And you will regret it in a lost eternity. But it'll be too late then. Come tonight. Make sure you're going to heaven. Make sure you'll be at home with the Lord if anything happens. God bless us. We have a closing hymn. Hymn 325. 325. I was a sinner, but now I'm free. Oh, wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. I've run from the burning. He rescued me. Standing again to sing. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for thy word tonight. And we do pray that thou, if any in here not saved, that thou will speak to them, convict them, convince them of their sin, and save them by thy grace. Pour us in thy fear now, and with thy favour, take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.